Welcome to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best leaders they can be in any endeavor they choose. Patty Grimm is our host and interviews top women in a variety of fields to help women grow, learn, and lean in together. Patty has over 25 years of experience in primarily male-dominated fields in senior-level management positions. Patty is the owner of Advantage Training Limited, an organizational leadership team training company. She recently released her new book for women called Quiet Women Never Changed History. Be strong, stand out, and stand up. With the subtitle, Let's Go Kick Some Glass.
All right, we're going to kick some glass with a couple of twin glass kickers here this morning.
Yeah, we've got a couple incredible women here, and our topic today is so timely for a lot of people out there. It's about gracefully embracing chaos, the balance of running a family business and being a working mom. So we're going to talk about that myth of trying to do it all. I have the incredible privilege of having Jenny Denis with me today, president of sales and marketing of McKinsey, a family-owned business. She's an incredible leader, and they both have wonderful quotes on their bio, so I want to read that. So Jenny's quote is, strive not to be successful, rather to be of value, from Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. Also I have with me is Katie Drucker. She's president of operations for McKinsey. Strong mix of leadership skills, strong mix of culture, strong mix of everything that she does around McKinsey, including team building activities. And I know both these women from a program called Girls Inc., mm-hmm. which is all about educating and empowering young girls to be strong leaders. And they're involved in several other things, Ronald McDonald House, a variety of other things. But mostly, they are working moms who run a family business. So tell us first about McKinsey and what McKinsey actually is.
Yeah, so I'll start here. Yeah. So McKinsey Corporation, you know, really we're a proud family business. Our dad started over 32 years ago, mm-hmm. so started in the bonus room of our house, which is fun growing up in the business. But we from day one have been around data analytics, market research, really in helping. We say we're self-proclaimed data nerds, kind of before all this was all very hip and cool at the moment, but helping companies to be able to more authentically connect with their customers. And it's a fun world to be in right now.
Great. And yeah. So how did you get in the family business? We talked about the cool kids got to work in the ice cream shop. And you all got to be in the basement.
Yeah. So in the bonus room, we used to open the mail and help dad data enter for surveys that would still come in. And really for us, though, we grew up in an entrepreneurial family. Our dad started his company and our mom had her own business as well. And so for a lot of family businesses, you just automatically are assumed to be a part of that. But for us, our parents really said that after college, we needed to go work somewhere else for the first few years.
The rule,
and then
yeah.
we could.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So okay. for a minimum of 2 years, and then we would then choose to come in on our own rather than being forced into the business or, you know, obligated to be a part of it. So we both chose, you know, over time to be a part of this exciting adventure.
So did you know growing up you were going to take over the family business, or was that even in your mind?
No, I knew. I think when people would ask what dad did, I said he worked with computers. Like, I legitimately had no idea what he did.
Right.
And I think it really is a good thing. We're part of Cal State Fullerton Center for Family Business, which
okay.
we love. And talking with other family businesses about going right into the family business or going somewhere else. And so both of us took a few years off. It was never dad never said he was going to take over the world. He basically started this business to support his family. That's
right.
what he did. But then after going out working, I worked at Home Depot, HSBC, and Kate did some other things. Then we realized, you know, this makes sense. What we're doing, great work at the company and where we are and having yeah. small children. Then we came back. So,
well, what's interesting about the organization is one of the things that you both do so well is create this culture of inclusiveness and do things like team building activities. So as a business owner, why are those things really important to the business? Because, I mean, isn't it all about the bottom line?
Kate. You know, that is definitely that is my passion. It is my jam. It really is my passion. I believe that we collectively as a whole can be better if we support each other and through all phases. We always say family comes first, and it's not just our family, the Vivrette family, which is our family name. It's everybody's family. And so whatever it is that you need to do, you need to go out to a doctor's appointment or you want to do different things. You know, family definitely comes first. But the team building opportunity, I believe that there's a way to be able to just understand each other and value each other as people first.
Right.
And that then we can collaborate more cohesively and strongly on projects. And so the team building and philanthropy and those different types of ways to be able to engage the employees and the staff into what matters most to Jenny and I, it really does matter to us.
Yeah. I mean, Gallup actually says that only 32% of the workforce is actively engaged.
It's mind-boggling.
You know, it's just mind-boggling. And they say it's costing the costing the U.S. $450 billion in lost revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so nice that you two are both enlightened leaders enough to realize and recognize that that stuff really does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the bottom line. It's about how you treat people, how you treat your customers.
Oh, 100%. I think, too, it's so... We've got people that have been there a long time. I think Trudy, one of our first...
That works for your dad.
Yeah, she's 30 years
this month.
Crazy. You know, and for them, it's been an interesting transition. You know, they worked for our dad first, didn't necessarily ask for us to be their bosses. But, you know, we've got a fantastic team there. And as much as we spend so much time together, every time we do one of these team building, they come away knowing more about each other, kind of respecting more. You know, I mean, coming out of these things, actually, I found out a couple of our people, one was a childhood actress, one was on the radio, one was, I spent all day with you people and I don't know these things. So I think taking a minute to step out of doing the work and finding out about each other adds so much value. I mean,
well, and face it, millennials are now 50% of the workforce. And I was in an event last night that said by 2025, they'll be 70% of the workforce.
Yeah.
And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a company that makes a difference, where they can feel like they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And that camaraderie, or whatever you want to call it, is so important. I have companies, or I've done some team building for a lot of nonprofits.
Yeah.
And it always surprises me that I'll do something as simple as the old Myers-Briggs or DISC profile and the style thing. And people love it. I mean, I bring in Tinker Toys. They play with Tinker Toys. I mean, it's amazing for me that these adults, within a minute, and I give them a task to build a Tinker Toy Tower, they're in it like kids.
Yes.
And that so much creates that camaraderie of who they are and what's important to them.
And I think being able to be, I think with customers, we've been talking about it, but with our employees and just people in general, they want to be authentically known and have a connection. Really
make a difference. It's the biggest human need.
100%. 100%.
Excuse me. And that we're more than just the job that we do. And that really has been a huge thing, too.
Yeah.
For us, it's interesting, as you mentioned, with the millennials coming in. We do have we have multi-generations right now within the workforce, which is really interesting. And then, and what is it that makes each generation also tick? And how do we find opportunities to be able to cross those generations and them to be able to understand each other in different unique ways to be able to do that.
I mean, I call this the three P's. That's literally how you treat your people affects how they perform with your customers and directly affects your profitability.
100%.
100%. So it's just, I know I'm preaching to the choir.
No, I think the more we talk about it, the more we're going to spread the, it's a fun, we're blessed to be able to have team members that are on it. I think our next session we were doing next month is on what motivates them, which I think is a big thing too, because we've done the,
Strength finders is a big one.
And
really with laying it out over with like the Simon Sinek's why, like what is your why? Why are you, what is your purpose? What are your motivators? Mm-hmm. And really realizing too that for any step of anybody's career, whether they can become 30 years lifelong McKinsey advocates, or if this is a step in their journey to be able to find what their true passion is if we can just everything that we do, if we can help those people grow just as people, individuals, and professionals, it makes our hearts grow just knowing that we're making an impact for them. And the hope is that then they stay forever with us. But again, just knowing that we're helping them be able to find what's really their passion.
Yeah, and your quote is, the starting point of all achievement is desire, with Napoleon Hill. And so that was kind of interesting. So what are the challenges of working with your twin? I mean, you know each other so well. Do you finish each other's sentences?
So we do. Yeah, now we do. We do have a unique story. So Jenny and I are extremely different, and you probably can see in here. We look extremely different. We are personalities. We are yin and yang. So together, we really do make a good combined person. And but growing up, we through elementary school and junior high, we were pretty close. But actually, we ended up going to different high schools. Again, with being a twin, people do. You feel then this competition eventually, right? And you feel like, and especially those formative years when you are trying to become your own and form your own identity, there's, you know, feelings of comparison, whether that's a feeling or it really, you know, is happening.
So we did not speak.
We did not get along.
Years.
So we ended up...
And now you work together and manage a company together. But you didn't speak for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. No, we had to share a car back in the day. So every other week we would share a car. And so we'd have to pick each other up, and then we'd always forget to pick each other up. So we went to different high schools, but then we ended up at the same college. We went to Boulder, Colorado. Okay. Go Buffs. And I think that when we
I'm a Husky, so go Buffs.
No dogs.
My car is covered in Husky stuff.
Oh, no. We are.
My husband's now a Hawkeye, which we now get your Thanksgiving game. That's funny. Yeah. We are very big college
Jen's dog's name is Ralphie, which is the mascot there.
Yeah. But when we came back even, I didn't think we'd work together well. And, you know, I'm the... Kate said, I've never met a new idea that I don't love. I'm like the epitome
of a shiny object.
A million times over. So actually today I'm working on slowing down. My business coach told me I needed to go on a word diet because I get going so quickly about things. And we'll drive home from meetings and Kate says all the time, you need to slow down. And I said, well, how come? She says, because I have to figure out how to implement all the new ideas that you're doing. Yeah. And I thought in the beginning it wouldn't work, that I just wanted to come up with new ideas and then I needed someone to tell to implement them. And I didn't think she'd like it. She loves it. She doesn't want to come up with a big idea.
I've met a to-do list I don't love. Like, I'm like, give it to me.
Organizer, innovator.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
100%.
On a disc or something, you're an I, and you're probably an S or a C.
Right. I have to finish that today, so actually I'm doing that test. Yes.
But I'm on the strength finders, I'm the includer, which it drives my husband crazy. Anytime we go to anything, even if it's not my party, I'll invite people. He says, this is not my party to invite, you know, our party. Yeah. I said, but I know that Patty would love Kate, and I know. And so he's changed his name, my name and his phone to be the includer. So I just love bringing everyone together and connecting. And then Kate's all about getting, though, of making things happen. So I always say our business would not be as well. We'd get nothing done if it was just me with all the big ideas. And then she actually makes it all happen. So I didn't think it would work, but oh my gosh, I couldn't do this without her.
100%. Exactly.
Well, and that is so great because it's so important. I did a presentation last night at Disrupt HR. And one of the things I talked about is that sameness limits innovation. 100%. So if everybody in your company thinks the same, looks the same, acts the same, maybe even went to the same university or the same school, whatever, you really can't innovate because you don't have that idea person.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my staff always tell me, can you please just tell us when you're changing lanes? Because I was like, oh.
I love all of it.
I'm like, where are we going? I'm like, come on, get on the boat. Let's just go.
You know what was really good, too, about Strength Finders just in general is we've got some very analytical people, obviously, which I love.
Well, you're a data company.
We have to. And I'd come in with these new ideas, you know, and as Jolynn says, throwing confetti everywhere and doing. And then they'd tell me all the reasons why it wouldn't work. And I was thought they ran on my parade all the time. And I get really sad. But now, since doing the Strength Finders, the only reason why I can be so excited and having all these things and have all this.
Right.
Positive is I know the team behind me has thought through all the detail, can get it done, can do these things. So I now respect their detailness, we'll say, as opposed to I didn't love it before. But it's respecting those differences. This wouldn't work if they had all me.
Right. Well, and the funny thing is I tell people that people like us, our thoughts are like gumballs.
Oh.
And they just pop everywhere. Or popcorn.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do to manage the person is give them some time and space to get all their gumball ideas out and then ask them to come forward with their best three.
I love that.
I'm going to use that on her. I'm just going to say, remember.
But I do think, though, it is important, though, for people like, you know, I've now been trying to create a lot more, back to kind of trying to juggle all of this.
Right.
I've been trying to create a lot more white space in my day and on my calendar where I can, because I was starting to get very claustrophobic in my own head. I had so many ideas and so much stuff, but I wasn't able to work through them. And so I've been creating a bit more white space, which I literally have a big whiteboard in my office and some of our walls are painted with the whiteboard.
Right.
Where then I can just get it out of my head.
Exactly.
And then some of it's okay if I just move on. I just have to have the space to get it out.
That's how we...
And then say, oh, okay, now I've moved on from that. And here are the three that actually make sense in our business, in our world, whatnot. Yeah.
So a couple of things to follow up on that. One is this whole idea of the world is exploding with disruptions everywhere. Everyone is being Uberized is now an actual term. Organizations that once had big competitive edges are being taken out by the legs by some small competition coming through. And with your company being so data rich and everything you do, how do you keep up on this crazy changing world and the data analytics. I mean, we went from no internet to the internet to the cloud to now everything's, you know, blockchain. It's mind-boggling. How do you figure that all out?
I think one of the core values for us that has been from day one, and we say we're curious, creative, and customer-centric. And with that curiosity, it's that innate wanting to dig deep and understand the why. And for us, it's the human factor behind the data analytics, mm-hmm. because really there is a million different tools out there now that you can be looking in the AI and the big data and the this and the that and everything. But no software and technology, I don't believe, at least today, until like the robots take over the world. But I believe that we still need the human factor and that human side of things. And really that just curiosity to keep saying, what am I not thinking about? Why? And going like, you know, the 5-10 levels of why and digging into that.
Yeah.
And that's, again, still at the core of who we are. And as it's happening and changing around us, I think that there is an opportunity for stability within it as well.
So how do you say those three C's again?
Curious, creative, customer-centric.
Okay.
So the curiosity really is digging in there. The creative, and it's interesting because we joke a lot about the fact that we're the non-sexy side of marketing because we're the data side, and then really being able to now partner more and more with the creative agencies. So when we talk about creativity, it's really just more of the creative approach to be able to solve a problem versus the creative in terms of the artwork and the wording and those types of things.
How do we look at data in a new, unique way? You know, how can we put things together? Compare things instead of just looking at it the way most people would. The curious too is we are always asking the question why?
And
what, I have a sticky note on my computer that says, "What are we not thinking about?"
What are we not thinking about?
100%. Because at the end of every project, it's always like, "Oh, I wish we would have." And you're not going to know everything, but at the beginning, if we want to know what are we trying to solve for, because especially for me, and Kate pushes back a lot. I mean, how do we keep up? Number one, my brain explodes at the end of every night. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, so I also just crash every single night because there's so much. But if we come back to, because I can get distracted by every new piece of software out there and technology out there, but what are we trying to solve for? What are we trying to do? What is the actual problem? Then we come up with the best solution is of how we can get there.
And then how do we use that to help our customers? I know there's a lot of companies that have like visions and value statements that say our customers are number one. In fact, when they surveyed a bunch of leaders, they said 80% of the leaders thought they had a customer inclusive culture, but only 4% of the customers believed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a mind boggling statistic.
Huge.
So always asking ourselves, what does this mean? And how do we do a better job for our customers, our employees, and the company? So to me, if you have vision and value statements that are printed on little cards that everybody carries around or on the wall, and you don't make them, you don't use them to make better decisions, those are worthless. They don't mean anything on the wall unless you say, if you have two possible solutions, which one's best for the customer, which one's best for employees, which one's best for the organization, and which one fits our vision and our values.
I love it.
And that's where really then also we have the data analytics side of us, but on the research side of the VOC, voice of the customer type programs or customer experience, and really using opportunities for customers to be able to give direct feedback. But really the biggest thing, though, is we can't be doing research just to check that box and to say we do it. We need to use it for innovation.
Yeah.
We need to do it for really creating these authentic relationships with our customers, because our customers, whether you're a service or a product provider, they have the insights into how your company can continue. And being open to, same thing within a company where you need to be open to constructive criticism, an organization needs to be open for constructive criticism from their all the stakeholders and be able to do something with that.
Well, it's interesting because I worked at Microsoft for 15 years, and when I joined in 1998, I was brought on to fix customer service. Our first voice of the customer survey, we had our number was a minus. We had more negative customer experiences than positive ones. Mm-hmm. And I love reading the verbatims.
Oh,
it's the best.
I mean, it is the most hysterical thing.
People
share. But also then for 5-10 years, we would get surveys every year, and people would either celebrate it went up or get depressed it went down because our compensation was tied to it. And finally, I said, wait a minute, but why are the numbers going up and down? So I literally trained every one of my CP leads in Asia, which was 16 countries, to be black belts, to do data analysis about why did the major customers go down by 24 points, and ask why 5 times. Why did that happen? what was interesting in this quick story, and then we'll take a quick break in a minute. We'll get to talk about mommy and balance stuff in a second. But the interesting thing is this was 16 countries, and there was no, like, initiative that came out that said, take these people who used to be customer-facing engagement managers and put them on revenue. Mm-hmm. But each individual country manager did this alone, and our numbers dropped by 24 points in a single six-month period.
Yeah.
And so they had taken what they thought was the right thing to do, but it wasn't.
Yeah. I think that, honestly, so many companies say, you know, what should we do, what should we do? And they sit in senior management and they come up with something. Ask your customers. I mean, the data is there. Most of them, I always say, they're sitting on gold. I mean, number one, watch your trends, see what they're doing, whatever. Yeah. And then actually communicate with your customers.
They
will talk to you and tell you what they want. I mean, it's...
And talk to your frontline customer service employees. And that really even goes back full circle here about what is the, you know, the value of being able to do different team building experiences and really understanding that no company, I just believe that there's a value in every single role. And from senior management, you need to understand that that guy who's answering the phone in your call center, who maybe you think is because of their like this lower, you know, maybe a level job, that's most your most important person.
Yeah.
And so if you treat them right, but then they're, give them and empower them to be able to feed that information back to you.
What is just incredible. Yeah. So two kind of things I want to share before we go to break. One actually comes from Amazon, and Jeff Bezos actually has in his conference room, he has a typical conference room table with all the chairs, and he has one chair of a different color, and that's the chair of the customer. And so before they make any decision, they say, what would the customer say?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and this was, I did when I was in banking, is that I brought in five of my top customers and asked them and say, I'll buy you lunch, but I'd love you to come into my staff meeting.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell us what we do well that you like and what we could do better. And people were, oh, my God. One, they said the people, they wouldn't come.
Yep.
Well, they did.
Yep.
They said, oh, my gosh, we won't want to hear what they said. And I said, but we have to hear it because we can't
fix it. Anyway.
They're saying it anyway. They're saying it to their friends.
And online now.
I was just saying,
in
the world
media.
Today is if you're not creating this open dialogue and authentic and really a real dialogue to be able to do that.
So we're going to take a break. Before we take a break, I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. And McKinsey is not the McKinsey Corporation. It is the McKinsey.
Yes.
So if you could spell the company name and then how people could get in touch with you to purchase your services. When we come back, we're going to talk about the mommy factor.
Yeah, so McKinsey, we're McKenzie corp.com, corp.com.
And local here in Orange County, and they do an incredible job.
Made here in Orange County.
In Orange County.
Okay, so when we get back, we'll talk about mommy factor.
I love that.
Wonderful.
Love it.
Thanks.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge, with the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days, all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right, back to Patty and her guests.
Great, and I'm back with Jenny and Katie. They are twin sisters. I know they don't look like twins, but they are twin sisters, and they own a company called McKinsey. So give us an example of what you do for your clients.
What we do. So we've been, like you said, we've been around for 32 years in the data analytics and market research space. So we've been in the power sports world for 30 years. Yamaha Motor is a big client of ours, the Motor Watercraft Marine Divisions. We do all of their customer satisfaction surveys. So in order to help them really connect with and understand the dealer experience from a customer point of view, mm-hmm. so we do all of their research, their product development surveys, and help them. We also, so it's on the research side of it. On the data analytics, we help them really dig in and figure out where they sell, what their market share is, take their industry data. We've created an online mapping tool where all of their sales guys across the country use. So fly around the country and train sales guys on how to use it, but really to be able to find out where their market share is, what's happening, and help their sales guys give them some direction of what to be selling.
So situation might be you might have a Yamaha dealer here in Orange County, California,
yep.
and you have a Yamaha dealer in Kalispell, Montana,
mm-hmm.
and what they sell might be different, mm-hmm. and the seasons might be different.
Products that are selling, exactly, yep.
Okay.
So not only in their line and a lot of these multi-line, but you know, be able to figure out what actually sells in this area,
right.
what type of products sell in this area, what's going on. Also a lot of predictive things. So if somebody buys a dirt bike, how often are they going to, when are they going to be repurchasing again, helping their marketing departments of right messaging to be able to
what other
out
products
what
might they, if they bought a bike, do they need a helmet?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or do they need something to, a jacket or something to go with it?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So figure out, and just different trends. Now we're trying to figure out what does the motorcyclist of the future look like, when you were talking earlier about disruption and
right.
whatnot, of always trying to keep figuring out how to keep pushing forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Interesting.
It's a fun space to be in.
So let's talk about this gracefully embracing chaos, which I think every woman listening can identify with. I'm trying to be the super mom, the super worker, the super manager, the super this, the super that, the super charity giver. How do you balance a growing business with having children, having a husband and young kids? So I don't know who wants to start, because your kids are a little bit older and yours are still pretty young.
Mine are. So I have an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old, two girls. And I really think I started when I first had my kids, one of the best piece of advice somebody gave to me is that there's no room for guilt. There just isn't. Because
say that again.
There's no room for guilt. Because
does.
If you're a stay-at-home mom, you might feel guilty that then you can't afford to put your kids in all the sports or those types of things. If you're a working mom, you're then going to feel guilty that you don't have time for everything. So really trying, for me at least, I've really tried to live my life since having the kids and taking over the business, is there's just no room for guilt.
Great.
Because the decisions I've made are the right decisions for me, and I just have to feel okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I was doing speech training, and this guy was a news guy, mm-hmm. and so he was trying to really get us to be really tough about answering questions. And so I had given my speech, and his first question to me was, "How do you feel abandoning your children and giving it to other people to raise?"
That's so
I was
funny.
Like, whoa!
It's funny. I was at a party recently, and somebody asked me a similar type of thing, and I, you know. Decided not to get angry about it, but quite honestly, exactly. I think trying to balance it all, it's a hard thing, you know, and I was blessed. So I have a 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. So I was blessed to have Kate to teach me that there's no room for guilt, but also just knowing the right decisions. I know quite honestly that my kids are better off because I'm a working mom. I mean, God bless, by the way, teachers and daycare providers. Oh my goodness. I know that I was not cut out for that. God bless them for raising, but I truly believe too that it takes a village. Mm-hmm. So and luckily we are here. So, you know, we definitely, our kids went to the same in-home daycare, the same preschool. So if we're running late for meetings, can you pick up? Can you whatnot? Our parents are here, but just trying to figure, I mean, there is no perfect. I love the gracefully embracing chaos as a little tagline of ours, because I love that gracefully of how can we do it the best way and embracing the nonsense, you know, and not to say my 6-year-old is fantastic. She's this like little hippie child, a go with the flow. My 3-year-old is not. She's a little more, she's got my number. And so the mornings of trying to get to work by 8 a.m. with two drop-offs with these kids, it's a lot. And I was very, I'd say, stressed, frantic, and angry a lot of times in the morning. And I asked Taylor the other day how she wanted me to be, if she could describe what she wanted mommy to be. And she
she's
said,
your 3-year-old?
No, she's an older one.
Six-year-old.
She said, calm, cool, and collected. She said, you're not any of those. And oh my God,
oh my
it was
God.
Terrible. So trying to now realize what's important and, you know, if I'm 10 minutes late and where to go, and I just need to find, there is no balance, but how to, on the mornings when we got to get here, then we figure it out. And thank God for our husbands. They are fantastic.
Yeah. This whole idea of, there was a book a number of years ago, probably when I was sort of growing up in the business world, called the Cinderella Syndrome, mm-hmm. right? That there was this myth that we needed to be the super mom, the super cook. We needed to be at every PTA meeting. We needed to bake perfect cupcakes. We needed all this stuff that people put on us. And the fact is that Cinderella was a character invented by Disney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Wonder Woman is a comic.
Yes.
And they're not real.
No.
And nobody can do it all. And if they're trying to do it, I think eventually they're going to come to realize that they can't.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. And I think even on that point, too. So I, you know, was room mom, kindergarten room mom. I was a Girl Scout leader for 4 years. I, you know, was just really getting in with the, you know, where we are with the company. And then I joined the board for Orange County Ronald McDonald House. And I realized, kind of like what you said, I wasn't giving enough of my all. I couldn't do it to all of them. So how do I streamline down and really said, where can I make the biggest impact? And so for me to be able to spend time with my kids at home instead of in their classroom, I realized that that was more important to me. So I stopped with that. And then, you know, I gave my 4 years to Girl Scouts. And then, you know, it just was time to be able to, again, focus my energy that I had, or the time that I had, into just one nonprofit instead of two. And it's I feel like I'm making a much bigger impact by actually limiting what I'm doing.
Yeah, because you're able to give more focused. I remember one time it was, first of the year, and my son was probably maybe 10 or 12, I'd say 8 or 9 years old. And he said, Mommy, what's your New Year's resolution? And I said, to work less.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, Mom, you've never done that, so why would you make a promise you can't keep?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about take the knife and stab it in your heart and turn it sideways. Yeah, thanks,
they
Ross.
They sure tell the truth, man.
Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah. Or I'd sit there after, you know, I'd be reading the paper or doing some work, and I'd be sitting there, and he'd be talking to me, and I'd be going, and he'd slam the paper and say, listen to me.
Yeah.
Right? All those little things.
And it's what you realize that you can't do it all. You got to give up something. And you can't be good at everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Really hard for women. Yep. And I talk about this in some of my speeches about not raising girls to be perfectionist. Mm-hmm. Because that perfectionism as little girls turns into be the imposter syndrome and I'm not good enough. Yeah. And into this Cinderella syndrome that I have to do it all.
It's too much. I do think that, I mean, with the social media world and that everything is perfect and that everyone posts, it's terrible, because I think the very best thing, what makes me feel so happy and what I mostly comment on, is when people are real. When they tell me I'm having a bad day. The other day I had my 3-year-old that she would not get dressed. So literally we went and she had a diaper on and I showed up at daycare with her shoes and her clothes. And I just said in a Pop-Tart, and I said, this is what I could do this morning. That post that I did got more likes and comments, because everyone said, you know what?
It's real.
We all have these things. So I think being real that we're not all perfect is a good thing. And I think of teaching our girls, I listened to a podcast the other day, and it was about not teaching our girls to be perfect.
Right.
It was teaching them how to be kind and to be good people. That's what really matters, is how can we be kind and generous to each other as opposed to perfect? Because that's a terrible thing to teach people to be on so many different levels. I could talk for days on that.
Yeah.
But
perfect is impossible.
And nobody is. Like, when you think somebody is, they're not. I mean, and even, I don't mean to even project sometimes when I post those pictures that I'm being perfect, and I feel bad when somebody else, another mom will call, a good friend of mine I was mentioning before that lives out.
Yeah.
I'm in Bermuda, and she says, it looks like you have everything together. And I said, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Is not the truth. And if
this is a facade.
Yes, and if
this just means I got makeup on today.
Yes. Trust me, getting this eyeliner straight is, like, difficult. I can't sort that out. But, you know, I don't want to make people feel that either, because that's a disservice.
Yeah. There's actual research out there that people who are seen as too perfect aren't trusted, because they're seen as aloof or not approachable and not being genuine. You need to be authentic.
Authentic.
You need to build resiliency in our children. Right? They shouldn't be perfect. They should be resilient and be able to take those up and downs. I mean, it is a cruel, cruel world.
Oh.
I mean, I do laugh at the Jimmy Kimmel mean tweets, because they're just so hysterically funny. But the fact is, it's happening to our children, and the things that people are saying is incredible. So how do you keep motivating them to be independent, strong thinking people. Yeah. And I like the idea of being kind or teaching girls to be brave. Like, you've got two girls.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking earlier today of just like, what's a quote or something that I've really has resonated with me over the years. And my mom had said to me one time, you are who you are, no matter where you are, which is just a very interesting thing, is that you just have to really work on being and accepting who you are and not trying to be something else. And that really for a long time was something that I had to work through growing up. And so I share a lot with my oldest daughter now in sixth grade. And really, I'm just very open and honest with her and sharing those types of things. Mm-hmm. And just reminding them that you can be the quirky kid and it's okay that you might not be a part of this popular crowd, because it's middle school drama is what it is right now.
Oh yeah. It is drama with a W, a giant D.
And she luckily like really gets it. She's definitely an old soul. So I'm lucky to have an old soul as a first one going through it. But you know, I think that's been a big thing for me and something that I work to teach my kids is just being proud of who you are and just be proud of the person and how every day can we make a positive impact in the world around us. That's what we need to live for.
And it in some ways gets back to things like StrengthFinder and your styles and identifying what your strengths are and celebrating those and getting better at those strengths and realizing I will never be an organized person.
Nope.
I mean, and if I am organized, like for a presentation or a workshop, I put all of my energy, like you have an energy pie, put all my energy into that. Yeah. And then I'll come home from a business trip and my husband will say, how could you take $400 out of the ATM and not remember what any of it was for or have a single receipt? Because it goes in a purse, it goes in a pocket. I mean, so I've just given up that part of my life. And so,
Yeah.
We could be the twins.
Oh, yeah. I think we're more alike,
from a mental standpoint. But it's just the idea that you can't be good at everything and identify those things that you love to do.
Right.
I love to cook, and I'm a really bad housekeeper, and I don't care to get any better.
Yeah.
So I may not be able to afford a housekeeper every week.
Right.
But maybe I can hire a student to come or somebody to come in every other day, or giving up the things that stress you out. And you learn that from StrengthFinder.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is kind of back in the beginning, is there are then people that will be, that are really good at some of the things
they
that
love
we
it.
Don't. I mean, hello, loves a to-do list. Like, it's like, we were reading something and it said, if somebody gives me a deadline or something, it makes me sweat. Like, I can't sort out, like, having all these to-dos and deadlines and budgets. I'm like, what? The receipts, I don't even know.
She's like, you get a receipt when you buy something?
There are people.
What are they for? What's this paper?
I used to feel really bad about the fact that I wasn't, but finding the people that are really good on your team and partners, and that's us now partnering with other creative agencies and other things to know what we're really good at. I mean, our little data nerds at our office, I mean, we are so dedicated to what we do and wanting to help people, and it's so fun of now thinking of, that's kind of even back to the nonprofit thing, but we're in a great spot of, we want to work with industries and companies that we're passionate about and make them better. Why the heck not? Like, there's so much to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, in the nonprofit world and then the power sports and professional sports of doing some stuff and just some different spaces.
Yeah.
Why not do what we want to be doing instead of,
So for those of you listening, I want to give you a specific go-do. Uh-huh. If you haven't gone online, and you can go online and buy probably any one of the books by Marcus Buckingham.
Mm-hmm.
His first one was Now Discover Your Strengths.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Stand Out or Strength Finder 2.0 and Strength Finder at Work. In any of those books, if you buy the book, there's a code inside that you can go to his website for free and take a Strength Finder assessment.
Amazing.
And find out what your strengths are and then play to those strengths and realize that you bring people around you who don't have the strengths that you do. A lot of times when I do these sessions, you know, people will say, well, you know, I'm all of these things. And I tell people, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news, that means you're extremely flexible and you have style flexibility. And we all need to have style flexibility and speak the other person's language and communicate with people. I said, the bad news of that is that you've been playing so many roles for so long that you don't know who you are and you've lost sense of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And that's when people crash. That's what happened to me when I had my crash. As I was playing the role for everybody else, and I felt like this puppet.
Too many.
And I exploded. Rock star to rock bottom, sort of overnight.
And then figuring out now, what are you really good at and love? And then
what do I love doing?
Thrive in that.
You know,
when they say, what do you do when time just passes so quickly? that's what you love to do. When you look up and say, oh my gosh, it's been 4 hours and I'm just getting going. That's what you want to
do. I tell people
out.
To carry a notebook with you for a week.
And
every time you do something, it makes you feel strong, that you're passionate about, that time passes, that you find yourself doing when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
That's your strength. On the other side, if you're doing things that really stress you out and you get that tension in your neck, or women tend to hold their tension in their jaws. That's why we wake up with sore jaws. It's because we've been cleansing our teeth.
My jaw pops all the time.
Yeah, it is because you're holding all the stress in your jaws. Is that anything on that column is things that stress you out? That's just not in your wheelhouse. Give them up.
Yeah. Right?
Find somebody else to do them for you, or just realize that you need to work with somebody different.
And I think that is one of the things too of how do you balance it all, or how do we kind of embrace this chaotic world that we live in, and really then finding also, how do you fill your own bucket, right?
Yeah,
and how
so
does
how
that
do
rain
do that?
Down then to the rest of the
yeah.
to your family, to your team, and those types of things, and making sure that there's time to be able to do something for yourself, independent of everybody else.
So how do you fill your bucket? I like that term.
Yeah.
How do you fill your energy bucket?
Mm-hmm. So I do mine through, and I started, it was January 1, 2014. It was what was my New Year's resolution. And for me, I kind of just felt stuck and I couldn't figure out what was next. And so I committed to a year of saying yes, a yes to things that scared me. And I didn't really define it more than that. And so, but I decided the first thing to actually do was actually through health and fitness. So I signed up for my first half marathon. I'd never run more than like 4 or 5 miles. And so
that's pretty good.
Since then, I've run 10 half marathons, 5 Ragnar races, Tough Mudder, Spartans, all that stuff. It became my thing instantaneously. And for me, it's really how it's not just the physical aspect of it. It actually is then the communities that I've been able to meet through those experiences.
Right.
So that's what fills my bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we had talked about was mentors and being around like-minded people. I mean, mine and being the includer, what fills my bucket is to be around other amazing women. This fills my bucket. Like I love being around others and talking about things. And we're, I think having our community, we're in a women's group that we meet our tribe, the first Friday of every month, in the business sense, which is fantastic. We also are in our, co-ed bacon donut fantasy football league with the guys. The guys kept doing fantasy football and
like, hello.
So why don't we? So every other Sunday morning that I've got our girlfriends at our core of what we do. And so having that girl time, having the friend time, and really being able to connect outside of being a mom, a business owner, and a wife. Like then I'm a person all by myself as well. And so being able to find time to do that has been really key.
One of the fourth recommendation in my book is put yourself number one on your things to do list,
100%.
Because you cannot give away what you don't own. Right. Mm-hmm. And just like you're on the airlines and they said, put on your mask first, you have to take care of yourself. So when I was working in corporations, I would get up at 5:30 in the morning because I wanted to work out. So I'd work out from 5:30 to 6:15. Mm-hmm. The kids would get up, would walk the dog, do all those kinds of things. But I had to get that workout done first thing in the morning. And I put it on my calendar. Now I put things on my calendar where I'm going to say, I'm just going to go have lunch with somebody today.
Yep.
Or I'm going to volunteer at a group that we both all work with, all three of us work with, called Girls Inc.
Love.
And give back to young girls, because you can be a mentor for somebody who's younger. I mean, incredible things that these young organizations do for women.
That's been huge. The nonprofit and philanthropy for us. And a lot of people say to us, how do you guys have time to do that? But it's kind of, how do we not have time? I mean, I know
it just fills your bucket.
Yeah, Kate does date night for her husband up at Ronald McDonald House and cook dinners. And so why not combine? And we've been trying to invite girlfriends. We've done a shopping event at our office where then we'll invite all of our girlfriends. We get girlfriend time and shopping and supporting a nonprofit. So how can we kind of ging things up together? And it just giving back, that's what fills our bucket. How can we give to these organizations? And I mean, between being a business owner, two of us with four girls, how do we not support, Girls Inc. being strong, smart, and bold? Everything about it is just who we are. And Kate's.
Ronald McDonald House for me, it was, I was, lucky or enough, I guess, to experience their room at the Chocolate Mission Hospital when I spent 4 nights there with my youngest back in 2014. And just the comfort and care that you get from being in that space, it was just something that for me, I wanted to be able to be there, to be able to give back to them.
Great. So we can't have it all. We have to figure out what we're really good at and play to our own strengths. And we need to give back to fill our bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And also just know it's okay to have bad days. I mean, the other night, Lord, it was a day, and then the girls and the whatnot, and I just took my glass of wine. I said to my husband, I'm going upstairs, and have a minute, you know? It's okay.
Have a minute, have five. I literally
make a long shower.
My husband was a CFO for Biltmore Hotel Group, and I was a VP for First Interstate Bank. We lived in Orange County. We commuted to L.A. on Amtrak every day before we had our son. You know, because that was an easy way to commute. You could relax. You could read the paper in the morning. But once we had our son, we had to carpool. And there were days that you're trying to get to that sitter by 6 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know every 5 minutes is another $25 or $30. And
and they stare at you like all evil.
Why are you late? But luckily, I had a wonderful, wonderful sitter. Thank God she taught my son so many great things. And also teaching your kids to be independent. My son started cooking at 5, 6 years old and doing laundry. And he was really popular in college because he could cook.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 year for prom, he brought a girl home instead of going out to an expensive dinner. He cooked chicken Alfredo. He did Caesar salad. He had her name spelled out in rose petals when she walked into the room.
So
amazing experience. But he was very, because he could cook.
Yeah.
Well, and he learned how to take care of himself.
And knowing what you can teach your kids, you know, I think I posted something a while ago. I dream about being a Pinterest mom, but I'm an Amazon Prime mom. I mean, that's just.
I didn't Pinterest just confuses me. Martha Stewart makes me angry.
I didn't realize people actually did the Pinterest things. I just pinned them. I didn't realize people actually followed. See, I'm the big idea person. But that's okay. My daughters know Amazon Prime, but they love coming to work with us. I taught her chess the other day at work. She came because of her Veterans Day. She thinks it's the coolest to come to mommy's work.
Yeah.
Kate, you had yours doing some surveys, starting the cycle over again.
Yep.
Oh,
they were open.
Gosh.
I said any dollar bills that you can find in the surveys, you can keep. And
But now I'm teaching them what we can't. I can't teach them certain things, how to homemade, you know.
I'm not the crafty person. No. I have zero patience, right?
But man, I can Amazon Prime like the best of them.
So who are your role models? We have kind of a few minutes left. Who are your role models? And then the last question is, what advice do you have for moms who want to gracefully manage chaos and really kick some glass? So those are kind of two questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think really I was thinking a little bit about the role models. And for me, I really do have to look back at the family that we've had. So our grandparents, and then really giving back to the community is a family value of ours.
Right.
Our grandparents gave huge amount of time. Our parents have just been very generous with the community as well. So it's just been we've been born and raised in that. And so I really do look back at that. And then also just the entrepreneur spirit of our parents, I think, has really just been huge for us. But and then for me, my biggest piece of advice is start building your network now. I cannot imagine my life, personal or professional, without my tribe, my village, my whatever. It's just and it's knowing that there are so many people out there who want to help you succeed and really being okay with asking and building that tribe.
Ask for help.
Women really don't ask is for okay help. To ask for help.
Yeah. And we both luckily had husbands that left corporate life and became Mr. Mom.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was Mr. Mom for 5
very
years.
Very blessed with Mr. Mom.
And he did, you know, took care of the kids, the shopping. He did all the field trips. They loved him because the teachers would give him all the really difficult boys.
Mm-hmm.
So having that tribe around you and people that help. And just ask for help.
I think that network, and I didn't realize until a little bit later. So, I mean, I wish I'd started in college and whatnot with the mentorship, but that's it. It's our group, our tribe at different levels too. Our monthly women's group that we meet. I know Ruth, who's amazing. She's over at Wear Milcom. She said, give yourself grace, Jenny. I'll come in and I would just be crying. And it's great because a lot of them have older kids and are a little senior than us in their careers. And I see what they're doing. And I want to be there, but they say, give yourself grace. Like, I still have a kid that doesn't sleep through the night. I mean, I need to put sleep on my checklist, but of things to do. But give yourself grace. That is a huge thing for me. And my motto too is that I'm doing the best I can.
Yes.
And I used to think that was a cop out. But you know what? I am. I'm doing the best I can as a mom, as a wife, as a friend, as a business owner. I truly am doing the very best I can.
Right.
That's all I can do.
So be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Be kind to yourself.
And
give
be forgiving grace. To yourself and recognize that you can't do it all and that there's no perfection. And those people that are perfect, they're just not real.
No. No. And maybe we can try and strive to get there, but it's okay to not be. It's
kind of
fun, actually.
Yeah. Do the best you can. So best advice is form your tribe.
Yes.
Get people around you to do things that help you. be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
And do the best that you can, moms. There's not anything else you can do. And that's it. So, I mean, really, that is a great way for moms out there to really manage their chaos, balance their life, and really go kick some glass.
Ah, yeah. I'm in for that.
You guys have been awesome. So, last thing is one of you just, how do we get in touch with you? And please spell the name again. How do we get to McKinsey Corp?
Yeah, so McKinsey Corporation, McKinzieCorp.com.
Great.
McKinsey Corp. Thank you so much.
This has been such fun. And one of the things you wanted to do on your list of things you're uncomfortable doing was being here today.
Right here.
And look how great it went.
Say yes to everything that scares you that's going to help you grow. That's my other thing.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Women Kicking Glass, the only radio show on OC Talk Radio dedicated to empowering women to be the best they can be. Listen each week or download the podcast at patty.grim.podbean.com. To reach out to Patty to schedule a speech webinar or to learn more about her leadership and team training, contact Patty at pattygrim@live.com. For more information about her company and her books, have a kicking day.